Congregation, the text for this morning is from Proverbs 1, the verses 20 to 24, but let me only read 24. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. So far. Judgment of the scorners. Three thoughts. God calling scorners. Secondly, people scorning God. And in the third place, God scorning people. Judgment on the scorners. God calling scorners. We will see that wisdom goes out and calls also the scorners. They're included. The Lord calls scorners. Amazing. Secondly, people scorning God, mocking with the calling. And then also God scorning people. It's a hard one. But you know, there's something very beautiful in there. Scoring, God scorning people. Something beautiful, you'll see. So where are we this morning? We are children, boys and girls, in a walled city. Jerusalem or so, with different gates in the city, streets going through the city. Public places, wide areas, public squares. It's busy. It's a hustle and bustle in town. People everywhere, marketplaces, we are buying and selling and things. People traveling. It's super busy in town. And then I see that one of the houses, the door opens and someone is leaving. Someone wants to go outside. And we see that person coming to a public square and is standing still there. His name is Wisdom. And he begins to talk. He begins to talk to the people around him. And see lots of people standing there and waiting, and some shaking their heads, say, oh, no. But some are listening, and he talks to everyone there in town. To everyone, the scorners, the fools, the simple. Or it says in the Bible, she crieth. But the she means that the Hebrew word for wisdom is female. But we can also easily say he. We'll talk about that a little more later. Wisdom crieth out. Utter the voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of the concourse. In the openings of the gates. In the city she uttered her words. Saying, how long? How long? How long, ye simple ones? How long, ye scorners? How long, ye fools? And if you compare that to chapter 8 later on, you find out it means he is talking to everyone, to all the people, to all mankind, to everyone passing by. Oh, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity. How long is it going on? When does it stop? And the scorners, how long are the scorners delighting in their scorning? And how long are the fools hating knowledge? Turn. And then we'll see that nobody listens. Nobody pays attention. And this wisdom gets really upset. And also begins to talk about the downside of that. I've called, he refused, thou stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. Begins to accuse as well, and express the pain and the grieving. So, who is that? Who is that wisdom? Leaving that house and coming down the street and standing in that place, in that old public square, and talking, who is he? And who is the audience? Who are those simple ones? What does that mean? Who are those scorners? And who are those fools? I want to know. Well, that wisdom, I said before, it says she all the time, but it is in fact he. That's our translator said, you know, it says she in the original. That's right. But it refers to the Lord Jesus. It's the Lord Jesus. Absolutely, I have no doubt about that. We'll prove it. That wisdom is Christ. He came out of that house. He came out of heaven. He came to this earth. He was standing there and preaching. He was inviting and calling. It's Christ. How do you know? Well, you should read chapter 8 for yourself. And let me quote a few verses from that chapter. And you will hear that this must refer to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it cannot be about anyone else. Wisdom says this: counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. I love them that love me. And those that seek me early shall find me. That's wisdom speaking. That's the Lord Jesus speaking. They that seek me early shall find me. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue more than choice silver. The Lord possessed me. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. Then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. You should read a chapter. No doubt about that. It's about Christ standing there and coming to that town and inviting and being serious. But also a few verses from the New Testament to prove that wisdom is Christ. 1 Corinthians 1. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ is called the wisdom of God. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. He is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So we see that public square close to the gate, probably that marketplace, and someone standing still there and looking at the audience, he begins to talk. It's the Lord Jesus. He's willing to come down from heaven and to preach the word of the living God, to save a people for himself. And who is he addressing? Well, there are three categories. And we all fit in one of them. Because as I said in Proverbs 8, it also makes it a little bit wider. It says, to all men. So we belong to one of those three categories. The simple ones, the scorners, or the fools. Or maybe we belong to all of them. So who are the simple ones? The simple ones are uncomplicated people. They're simple. They are not deep thinkers. They don't wonder about the future so much. They just live. Simple people, they just live. They do the work, they eat, they go to bed, they sleep, they wake up, they go do something else. They just simply live. Very simple people. Don't make it too difficult. They don't like that. Just leave me alone. Leave me in my simplicity. Are you still so simple? No, the cat and the dog also live very simple lives. They just wag their tail and they jump on your lap and they just sleep and eat and enjoy and there's nothing else. Simple ones. We were not created that way. But through our deep fall, we have become so superficial, so shallow, so darkened in understanding. Things don't sink in. We don't get disturbed. We don't get agitated. We don't get excited about spiritual things at all. No hunger, no thirst, nothing. So do you hear him, the Lord Jesus? Do you hear him? He's calling. How long? Ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? But there's also another category. And the scorners delight in their scorning. You know, some are scorners, they strongly disagree with things. They say, no, absolutely not. I don't agree with that. And they mock with it. They ridicule. They blaspheme. They don't care. They don't come to church. Or if they are in church, they just inside or there's something like, I hate this. I don't like this at all. I don't deep down believe in it either. I'm sitting in church, but you know, and some of them, they joke about it. They joke about church and the office bearers and house visitation, and they just ridicule it. Sometimes in public, sometimes under their breath, they don't care. Scorners. Like those children that were mocking with one of God's servants, Elijah, mocking with him. And you would say, this wisdom, this man, this Christ standing there in the middle of the square won't even talk to them. Just ignores them. That's not true. It's not true. He does not ignore them. We shouldn't either. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity and the scorners delight in the scorning? How long will you continue scorning and ridiculing and laughing about the Bible and laughing at the church and taking texts from the Bible out of context and just turning it around and just playing with it. Scorners. How long? And also the fools. And the fools hate knowledge. You know, some are simple and they don't think, and some people ridicule it, and some people strongly disagree and say it's foolish. And they know about it, it's foolish, and they hate the truth. They hate knowledge. That's the characteristic of the fools. And the fools hate knowledge. Hate the teaching of the Bible. And you would say, why talking to them? Why, Lord Jesus, speaking to those people, the simple ones, the scorners, and the fools? But he talks to everyone. He talks to lost ones. He talks to dead ones. He talks to not interested ones. He talks to people that turn their backs unto him and say, ah, whatever. He talks to them. So this morning. That's amazing, isn't it? If it would have said, Lord Jesus, the wisdom of standard, and the singling people out, say, you interested, you hungry ones, you thirsty ones, you there interested and not indifferent, come. Let us go to a place and just, I talk to you privately. No. He talks to all people around him. Why? How long? He's begging. How long? Why? How long is this going to continue? Shouldn't you stop this? Oh, wisdom speaks from the heart. How long? And he talks to scorners. You know, you may wonder how serious Christ is about that. Because he says, turn you at my reproof. Turn you. Wisdom talking to the people says, turn you. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called. I call. I have stretched out my hand. I counseled you. See that? So the Lord Jesus calls us this morning. Whoever we are, scorners, simple, foolish, whatever. And he stretches out his hand. What is that? Why do people stretch out their hand? I can think of three things. Maybe one of them or all three. I can stretch out my hand and say, I beckon, come. Please come. How long? Beckoning, gesturing, you're welcome. Or I can stretch out my hand with something in there and offer it. Stretching out my hand, do you want it? Or I can think of grabbing someone and drawing someone, come along with me. So beckoning or offering or drawing. But the Lord is stretching out his arms unto those scorners, unto those simple ones and fools. The question for you. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You know that, right? The first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. How serious is the Lord about that? Yeah, you would say, of course, very serious. Does he mean it? Thou shalt not have other gods before me, Of course, minister, he means that from the very heart. So why are so many people not serving the Lord then? If the Lord really wants them to serve him, that they would have no other gods before them, are people resisting him then? Yes. So that's, is it his will? It's the will of his command. And there's no difference with the will to turn. And the Lord says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That is as serious as the Lord saying, turn ye. I can turn. You can't keep the first commandment either. You can't. And yet the Lord is serious about it. Calling scorners. Let's go to the second thought. People scorning God. I think that's what it is. Scorning God. Because I have called and you refused. I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have set my counsel, you have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. It's quite something. I see wisdom standing there on that square and calling and stretching out his arm and beckoning and offering and I see that nobody is interested. Nobody. Romans 3, none that seeketh God. Nobody. By nature, we all refuse. I've called, you refuse, you said, no. No, I've got better things to do. I don't care. Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah, I will seek the Lord, but you don't. So half-hearted, so dead in sins and trespasses, refusing. Oh, he called. And people don't only turn around, but they willingly and consciously refuse, and they set at naught my counsel. They despise it. Want to hear some examples of people refusing? And people scorning, and people mocking, and people turning their heads and despising. We'd like to hear this, so because I hope it sinks in. I hope to give you a few blows. And hopefully the Lord applies it to the heart that you may say, oh, you cringe, you break, you say, oh, is that me? Moses called the Pharaoh, right? Let my people go. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to let the people go. So like Pharaoh, he refused to let go. Or Jeremiah 5, O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. Refused to receive correction. They've made their faces hard as a rock. They've refused to return. Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast, they see, they refuse to return. Can you give examples of yourself? Of someone refusing to apologize, refusing to change his mind, refusing to obey, or stretching out his arm, beckoning, presenting, showing, touching? Absolutely not. Because I've called, he refused. I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. It's the hand of Christ, the hand of wisdom, and nobody regarded. No man did. Or to regard is to prick up your ears, to regard, to listen, to obey, to take heed, to say yes, to say I see the point. About the counsel, they have said, at not all my counsel, the Lord Jesus Christ is called the counselor. He gives advice. He said, turn ye, do this, seek me. He has such wise counsel. And ye have set at not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof, nothing, not willing to listen to anything, none of my reproof. Or for some, that is very obvious, and they are scoffers, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Scoffers in the latter days, very openly scoffing. And others, in a different way, like the Pharisees. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things. And they derided him. Or think of the cross. The Lord Jesus hung on the cross, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers and also with them derided him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. Oh, that unwillingness, right? Unwillingness. And would none of my reproof, would not, that is old English, right? Would not. That would not is not being willing. Not willing. We felt so deep that from our side there's such an inability, right? Inability. But what's more sensitive is even an unwillingness. It is not true. The Bible does not say people are only unwilling, are only unable. Unwilling. That's how deep we fell. Think of what the Lord Jesus taught in Luke 19, but his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And the Lord Jesus said so clearly, weeping over Israel and Jerusalem, he wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou the least in this day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now are they hid from thine eyes. And does it not say, but ye would not? O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would have gathered thy children together as a hen does gather a brood under her wings, and ye would not? Something I see on that scribe, Lord Jesus, then, the called wisdom. And he says, fools, scorners, simple ones, hear. See him beckoning and talking and trying to convince them, and they all refuse. Hosea 11, and they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed unto Baal and burnt incense to the graven images, and my people, you see that? My people, and my people are bent to backsliding from me, though they call them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. Or think of that supper the Lord Jesus talked about. Everything was ready on the supper table. That's not the Lord's Supper. It's the gospel table. And he sent his servants at supper time to say to them that are bidden, come. For all things and already. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said, I have bought a piece of ground that I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and go to prove them. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Always an excuse. They would not. Or think of that older son. In the parable of the prodigal son, right? The older son, he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. He refused to come in. He entreated him. No. Refused. And you know, when you go to the heart of it, let's go to the heart of it, of that unwillingness, it is unbelief. Here's a text, a sharp arrow. And may the Lord shoot it in the heart. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come to the world and men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. So why is God then so disappointed and so angry? Because there is that wisdom. He came out of that house, out of that place, and he came to the public square, and he took the time, and he was willing, and he preached the word, and nobody regarded. When the Lord gives a new heart, what happens? When the Lord changes people around, and those things begin to sink in, and that becomes your problem. But ye did not want. And then you see it. That's not the Lord's fault, but my fault. Then hearts break, but ye would not. Then we see that we should not feel sorry for ourselves. Because we do right. Do you? Feel sorry for yourself? You know, so far, the Lord has no pleasure in your death. But when death comes, that stops. Verse 26 and 27. I hardly dare to read it. I also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. What's that? I almost thought, I'm not going to preach about that. I just can't do that. That turns people off. You should hide that text. They can be. But that's not honest. And there's something so beautiful in there. So the first thought was God calling scorners. And the second, people scorning God. And now God scorning people. I also will laugh at your calamity, I will mock when your fear cometh. As I said, this is holy ground. You have to be very cautious and sensitive. And of course, this is a holy scorn, a holy laugh. A holy laugh of God at the calamity of them that refuse. You find it in more places. Psalm 2, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. And Psalm 37, the Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. And in Psalm 59, but thou, O Lord, thou shalt laugh at them, thou shalt have all the heathen in derision. So it's not just one isolated place that may have been translated wrong. No, it's really biblical. But what does it mean? Well, during our life, the Lord has no pleasure in our death at all. But when the time is over, it is completely the other side. Someone cannot be more angry. So deeply hurt and grieving. It can be worse. So this talks about the hot displeasure of God. You know, why is that then? Why is God so infinitely upset that he laughs at people's calamity after the time of grace? Well, if you really want something, right, children, if you really want something, you're just absolutely mad if you're disappointed. You had just hope for that and hope for that and hope for that, and you thought, really, that would be so great, and then nothing. It's so upset. Why are you so upset? Because you had hoped so much. You wanted it. See my point? And that's why the anger of the Lord will have no measure if you have neglected such great salvation. Because he calls you. He stretched out his arm unto you. You refused. There's nothing worse than that. to refuse God, to refuse the gospel preaching, just take it for granted, to just not regard it. You know what I see in this? That God is laughing at their calamity, that he really meant it. And that's why, if you die unconverted, you will know it. And then you'll regret, and you call, it's too late. And the Lord will be so deeply upset and say, your time is over. When your fear cometh as desolation, your destruction as a whirlwind, then shall they call upon me, verse 28, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. So what is the beauty behind it? The Lord is really angry if you don't come. The Lord is really deeply hurt if you refuse to come and if you don't want him and if you don't believe in him. Really upset. So if I would be you, I would take that seriously and consider that. You can say, I can believe myself, I know that. I can turn that to myself, I know that. But this is the other side of the coin. If you won't, it's on your account. And God will say, you would not. I would gather the hens under the chicken. The chicken under the wings of the hen, but you did not want. Think of that parable of Isaiah about that vineyard. All that owner was so proud of his vineyard, and he did everything about it, and to do the stones out, to do the wall around it, and a vine press, and the best plants. And look. That's so disappointing. What could have been done more that I have not done? Still holding on to a few excuses, or how long? How long are you continuing this way? How long, simple ones, just live? How long, scorners? How long, fools? How long, we? How long? The Lord is asking you, how long? Scorning, laughing. Let me take you to the New Testament. And they were scorning and laughing, put a rope over the head of the Lord Jesus and hit him and say, prophesy, who was it that hit you? And they said, save thyself. He saved others. Save thyself now. And they were mocking with Christ, sticking out their lips, ridiculing him. Oh, he's asking for Elijah to come. And they mocked with Christ, and he absorbed that. He took that. He was ridiculed and scorned and mocked. You know why? Because he is yet going to save a people for himself. And he takes it all in, all the mocking. He wants to be mocked. He takes it all in because he's going to save a people and they will not be mocked at. That's the other side of the coin. If you die unconverted, and the Lord knows the hearts for us, but suppose you're unconverted, then I feel sorry for you. but not the Lord. The Lord won't feel sorry for you. So far, there's no pleasure in your death. But when you die, people cry and say, this or that. But God won't feel sorry for anyone unconverted. Because they didn't want. Now, why do I say this? Because I love you. This hurts, I know. I have to say this. And may the Lord bring you to that place that finally, how long, finally, your heart breaks and say, I did not want. And then you feel worthy of being mocked at for a long eternity. You say, that's what I deserve, to be mocked at. By God. And you cry. You seek salvation only in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was mocked at, and he did not deserve it. And you begin to love that Savior so much that he came down, that he came to the square, that he came to talk to you, that he said, how long, my friend, give me your heart. And that you refused and did not take it at all, but the Lord came after you and yet converted you for his glory. And if you would go to heaven, you won't be proud of yourself. You won't say, no, I was wise. I made a choice. I had a good free will and I took that chance. No. You will say, he did it. He saved me. I didn't want. For my side was all lost. But for his great name's sake and glory. So, how long, congregation? How long? I'm begging. In Christ's stead, be reconciled with God. And one more thing. Why the Lord is so deeply hurt and laughs. He did not ask you to be perfect. Although we have to be. He did not ask us to obey the law and to merit salvation and to earn your points. He did not say it has to come from your side. You have to trigger it. He only said, only believe. Do nothing. Give up. It's not a big effort of doing something and making a point for yourself and working yourself up. The Lord still didn't say that. And that people even did not want to come with empty hands. Without money, without price. They didn't ask for money. They didn't ask for price. They didn't ask for conditions. People are allowed to come the way they are. They're still not coming. That's so unreal. You know? Feeling sorry for yourself? Unconverted, maybe old, feeling sorry for yourself. The Lord still has no pleasure in your death. But be assured of this, if you die unconverted, God won't feel sorry for you. Not at all. And you will know it. That's what hell will be. Hell will be, it's only my own fault. And then forever and ever experiencing that. That your unwillingness was the problem. Oh, the joy it will be for God's church to only glorify God to the highest. Glorify Him. Say, Lord, it was not me, but Thee only. And that the Lord has begun, and the Lord has continued, and the Lord finishes it. You know, that text from Luke 13 is often quoted wrong about the hen and the chickens. People often forget that's past tense. You hear it again? Past tense. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets and stoneth them, past tense, stoneth them that are sent unto thee. How often would have I gathered thy children together as a hen does gather a chicken under her wings, and ye would not, past tense, ye would not, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. It's over now. Congregation, don't feel sorry for yourself. How long? How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorn is delight in the scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. Amen. O most holy and perfect God, it's hard to understand. It's impossible to wrap our heads around it. But it's thy word. Lord, we beseech thee, may sinners break. Break, Lord. We don't want to break. Break us. And give that we may come then with broken hearts and contrite spirits into such a Savior, so long-suffering, so patient so far. What a wonder that the Lord is still stretching out His arms unto us so far. And when it changes, it will change dramatically. Graciously bless thy word. Forgive the shortcomings. Be with us the rest of this day. In Jesus' name alone, amen.